You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you are with me today on Dr. Michelle Live. 573-4BREAD-4 is our telephone number. And you can email me, Dr. Michelle Live at DM Live at breadboxmedia.com. You can log on breadboxmedia.com to check out all the different contributors and what we're doing at Breadbox. You can become a friend of the show by logging on to breadboxmedia.com, going over to friend of the show and following the steps from there. You can also look at all the archives, so many subjects, by going to breadboxmedia.podbean.com. So many things are going on. So many things are happening. Our world seems crazier and crazier by the minute. The pace is faster and faster. And it's Lent. And Lent is a time built into the Catholic Church when our reflections follow those of Christ during his passion, culminating in the resurrection. And by definition, it is a time when we are supposed to be in our own deserts and gardens, and all our reflections that we have as far as this last Sunday, Christ's temptation in the desert. The Spirit led him to go into the desert. So I want to talk today a bit about relationships, which really does have to do with the desert. Relationships in relation to your significant other, boyfriend, husband. Relationships having to do with your own desert moments during this Lent, what you can do, how you can sacrifice certain things to improve your relationship, and how you can suggest these things to your significant other, boyfriend, husband. So I want to focus on that as a backdrop and as a stage for that subject. I want to talk a little bit about Pope Francis and his suggestions for a good Lent, because it's going to tie in to how we're going to funnel this down into our relationship discussions. So get your coffee and sit back, and we're going to take a deep breath. I'm always like, my mind's always going, my mind's always working. I'm always on the run. And I'm always saying to you and reminding myself, it is time to sit back, take a breath, look at the beauty around you, thank God, thank you, God, for another day. Thank you for a chance to turn things around. Thank you for this, the blue sky. Thank you for all that has brought me here, even if I'm in a wasteland, even if things are not anywhere how I would want them to be. I thank you, God. And at some point, you have to just give everything over to God. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday and discussing with him the things that are going on in his family, going on in his life, going on with his children. And none of it is good. None of it, you would say, hey, this is exactly the payoff of a good Christian, a good faithful Christian or otherwise human being. It's tough. It's hard roads, because we're people. We're people. And so in this discussion with him yesterday came the whole concept of husband and wife, came the concept of what in the world I can't even go there in my own mind, is what he was saying to me. I can't even think about my relationship. We're at odds about how to deal with the children. We're at odds about how significant things are. I want to handle things one way. I only think one way. She thinks another way. I think in the pictures, and there's certain pictures I get when I have my children in my mind, when I have what they're doing in my mind, when each path is fraught with danger and with anxieties as they get older and older. They're adults. They can make their own choices now, but the choices they are making are leading them on definite paths of destruction. I help set up those paths. My ancestry helped set up those paths because of certain things in my family. And the weight and the pressure of that is heavy, and it's a burden. It's hard. It's very hard. And the last thing I'm going to think about is my wife. I know she's suffering. I know she has her own way of doing things, but sometimes it just infuriates me because it seems to be counter to what I'm doing, how I'm relating to the children in each of their varied paths. And how I see how things of the past and how we handle things of the past are affecting my children right now. And the struggle is so hard. And when he finally came down to it, he said, you know, at the very last moment, all I can do is give it to God. Because everything I do does not turn out well. I see things, I have opinions, I know things to be true, I want to stop a runaway train, I cannot do it, I have to leave it to God. And Lent is the perfect time to do it. So in this time, this is the time, if you're having difficulties in your relationships, are you having difficulties with your children? Are you having difficulties with your husband or your boyfriend? Let's say you're a single mom and you're looking at a new love, a new romance. And you don't know, like, is this going to be good even for my child? Or you might be having troubles with your child that you're afraid to reveal to your new boyfriend. Because it just sounds like it might be too much trouble. These are all things that many of you are facing right now. And as my friend said last night, all I can do is give it to God. That's all I can do. I want to do other things, but everything I get a brick wall. Every time my thoughts go down a certain road, I realize, no, I've been there before. I've been there before. This hasn't worked. I have to pull back and I have to hand it to God. And as we talked, it became more and more evident that the clue or the cue to doing this or to, let me back up. I'm not using the right words. How you do this, how it happens for you, is in action and non-action simultaneously. You don't just sit back and eat chips and not think about it while it just goes on and you say, I'm just giving it over to you. You have to also have action in your life when it's appropriate. You have to be willing to wait and willing to move. You have to be able to say things that might be uncomfortable, do things that are uncomfortable, that are unknown to you. What in your life do you... What challenge do you have? You're afraid for people to know things. You're afraid for your friends to know what your child is into. Is your child homosexual? Is your child transgender? Is your child an addict? Is your child cheating on their spouse? What is going on? What is going on? Do they have a mental illness that you feel somehow you feel this, you are perpetrating a stigma upon the world? Or are you just afraid inside? This fabulous Father Derek, he's so awesome. He gave a homily this last week with the gospel of Jesus' temptation in the desert. And one of the things he said was, you know, it's kind of both and. we like to think there isn't a devil, an actual devil, an evil, an actual force. So the more we can downplay it, the more comfortable we are. At the same time, it's both and. The other side of the coin is we can get too hung up on being attacked, on the evil force. As if that is the reason for bad things happening in your life. Sometimes bad things happen in your life. And he said, sometimes you made bad choices and they led you to here. And you have consequences. Sometimes things just happen. Wrong place, wrong time. So we have to kind of balance this thing. Maybe you just have a crummy life right now. And so it is not all about a diabolical attack. And at the same time, the reverse is true. Exactly at the same time. This is what happens in our lives. We have these dichotomies and these paradoxes. They happen in our life. One thing he did say, he said that people have contacted him and asked him and requested things such as even exorcisms. And when he questioned them about what the church teaches, can you go to mass? Can you have, are you taking the sacraments? Are you going to confession? Is there anything else that you're doing? And he really gets into it. He goes, well, then no, what you need is you just need to keep doing more of the same. Because, and then he said, remember 365 times. This is what he told us. It's awesome. 365 times in the Bible, it says, do not be afraid. That's one time each day of the year, there's a statement, do not be afraid. We will get to you on the other side of the break. Get your coffee, join me. I am Dr. Michelle.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You are with me today, Dr. Michelle Live. 573-4BREAD-4. The first segment was a little rocky, I have to say. There was some weird buzzing in my headset. So whatever it was I said, however I got distracted, it did have a method here. And we're going into relationships, boyfriends, husbands, children, sex. We'll even talk about sex today and Pope Francis. So all this has to do with Lent as well. So as I was giving you that story in the first segment, this friend of mine who is just, this isn't just new hard times. These have been going, these particular avenues for all of his four children have been happening for the last at least 10 years, some of them even longer, some of them almost 15 years now, where from teens all the way into the 30s, the path has been just obvious. And every step of the way, as the path of their children just kept snowballing, and these things started being revealed. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but you fill in the blanks. I'll make a few up because I don't want to necessarily talk about this particular family. I want to talk about your family. I want to talk about you. Where are you? Where in your relationship with your boyfriend, with your husband? And if you have children, if you don't have children, where are you in relationship to you? Where is your grounding? Where are your feet? And how does Lent play into this? So with this particular friend of mine, this was more, not so much a lament, a complaining, even a resolve. It was more of, here's where I am. I look back and I find things of my children's in the past, and I see little openings, little blossoms of the troubles that we're having right now. And all I can do is give it to God. And all I can do is keep searching. Because you can say, we give it to God. We can say that, but what does that really mean? There's a book in the Healing of Families, I think it is, where he talks about wrong prayer. And the priest who wrote the book doesn't define wrong as like in error. He defines it as beside the point. In other words, you are praying, your energy and your spiritual direction and your spiritual focus is not going toward the issue. It's going toward something else. So if we pray only to give it to God, that's a great thing. I give it to you. But also, we don't want to be so stuck in pouring out, I give it to you, I give it to you, I give it to you, that we don't receive the prayer of help me to let go, hold on for the next indicated step, hold on for the future, and to receive. And to pray that you continue to put angels in my path that will help guide me along my way. It's really important stuff. So as Father Derek said on Sunday, 365 times it says in the Bible, do not fear. That's one day for every day of an entire year. Do not fear. So if all you do is say, all right, in the Bible, I'm going to go ahead and just imprint that on my head. First thing when I wake up, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. And the reason that he mentioned and that I mentioned today, the idea about the extreme where, and we can all get there, where you feel like some huge dire thing has to be at play. And it can be, it's not saying it isn't. But the reality is we have to look, we are human. We live on this earth. We trip in cracks in the sidewalk. We fall. We break our arms. We could have been too distracted. We can't always be on target. Doesn't necessarily mean that it was all a diabolical force. Now, just like if you leave something out, you invite ants. If you leave yourself out and vulnerable, then you invite the ability to have more of the spiritual downturn. And once that downturn happens, I mean, if there is an evil force, the evil force will take advantage of the situation. And as Father Derek pointed out, the church is wise. If you can take the sacraments, and if you align yourself with the church and you align yourself with Christ and you go to confessions regularly and you go to Mass regularly and you do what is right, good chance that you're a human being living on this earth who's having some tough times and you need your spiritual guidance. You need your spiritual directors, your spiritual advisors. You need them and pick them wisely. So kind of drawing back a little bit, let's look at 10 tips that I got from Kevin Cotter. This was written in February 2017. He has a blog called Focus. I don't know much about it, but he terms it prayer, life, and church. What should I do for Lent? Pope Francis's 10 tips. So I would love, this is great because he took Pope Francis's sayings or teachings from the last couple of years, 2014, 2015, and he brings them to these 10 tips, which I think is pretty awesome. So he just put them together a couple of weeks ago, but this is a great, great, great idea. I'm going to give you all five, then we're going to go into them. Number one, get rid of the lazy addiction to evil. Very cool. Number one, get rid of the lazy addiction to evil. Number two, do something that hurts. That's awesome. Do something that hurts. Now, when I'm reading these, I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about you. And I want you to think about your husband or your boyfriend. And I want you to think about your children. And if we let you into the girls' club today and you are a guy, then we want you to think about your girlfriends, your wives. The whole point here is no matter who you are, this is relationship. A relationship is an embodiment of the best and the worst parts of life. Okay, so number three, don't remain indifferent. Number four, pray. Make our hearts like yours. Number five, take part in the sacraments. Number six, prayer. Number seven, fasting. Number eight, almsgiving. Number nine, help the poor. Number 10, evangelize. And I'm going to go through on the other side of the break when we have it. I'm going to go through, we have a few minutes left, and talk about each of these the way Pope Francis did, because they're taken from specific Lenten messages and general audiences. They were quotes from Pope Francis. And so I want to go into what he said about it. But then I also want to look at a couple of other ideas of putting these things to practice in your relationships and how to break the habits of some of the things that you're doing right now that are destructive in your relationships, that you can use these tips and other Lenten tips to nurture your relationship. This is most important because your commandments are to love God, to love your neighbor as yourself, and your closest neighbor is going to be your husband, your children, your boyfriends. Those are going to be your closest neighbors. You have to also learn how to love God and how to love yourself, and part of that is how to listen to God and who you're supposed to be, not who you decide you're supposed to be. So we're going to get into all of that as we progress. So just hang on to your seats. And if you have any thoughts, 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4, you can take a look, call in, text, you can remain anonymous. So ask yourself these questions. What are you willing to give up? And what are you willing to embrace? What are you willing to give up? And what are you willing to embrace? Are you willing to give up your lazy addiction to evil? Interesting, Pope Francis, that you should say such a thing. And are you willing to embrace what it means to not give into the lazy addiction to evil? So Pope Francis, in his general audience of March 5th, 2014, says, Lent is a powerful season, a turning point that can foster change and conversion in each of us. We all need to improve to change for the better. Lent helps us, and thus we leave behind old habits and the lazy addiction to the evil that deceives and ensnares us. So when we talk about who we are and we talk about our relationships, what is the evil that deceives and ensnares you? I want to talk about that when we come back from the break. What is the evil in your marriage or your love relationship with your boyfriend that deceives you and ensnares us? Maybe it's something as simple as that if you're just prettier, smarter, or you cover up enough that you're going to be loved more. Maybe it's the opposite of that. Maybe if you're just too raw, it's going to make you loved more. These are all the little self-deceptions we have for ourselves. We'll talk about that and other things on the other side of the break. I am your host, Dr. Michelle.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
So welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You're with me today on Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4BREAD-4. You can text, you can call, you can email DM live at breadboxmedia.com. Is your relationship in the doldrums? Is it not going one way or another? Is it going downhill? Is it thriving? What makes it thrive? You're welcome to weigh in any way that you would like. DM live at breadboxmedia.com is my email. And you can also remain anonymous. I've heard so many things recently, and a theme that keeps coming up is you have one face on the outside and you have another face on the inside. It takes you so long to speak plainly to yourself, to speak plainly enough to reach out. And then what happens is that you're afraid to let anyone know what you're reaching out about. You immediately want to describe to yourself, as my friend did, and my friend does, the one I told you about in the beginning of the program, and as I do, and I'm trying to break that habit, and I've been trying over the past several years, and I think I'm getting a good handle on it, and that is to put out the problem. My child appears to have an eating disorder, and then proceed to spend the rest of, let's say, 10 minutes telling yourself or telling your friend or telling your therapist or telling your priest exactly why that is and why you are handling it and how you are handling it, rather than at that moment when you're feeling the need for help, just opening it up and say, I think I can see everything. I think I can give you all the reasons in the world, but it hurts like heck and I have no control over it. And this is what we want to get to with our boyfriends and our husbands and our relationships and ourselves as well. Whether it's your sexual life, whether it is your friendship life, whether it is just your life with you and your child, your single parent. We have to look and open and like a little kid, I'm helpless. I'm helpless in the situation. I need something more. I need something more. And remind yourself, do not be afraid. When Pope Francis is quoted, just that little tiny quote, get rid of the lazy addiction to evil. Well, sometimes it's the old habits and lazy addictions, as he says, that deceives and ensnares us. One of the big deceptions is that if we understand it intellectually and we can rationalize it out, then we have a handle on it. That's a big deception. One of the biggest ways women do it in your relationships, one of the biggest ways you do it, or that you do it in any relationship, whether it's boyfriend, husband's friend, teacher, boss. Well, I think I know why they do it. I think I know why they do it. When they were little, they were sick and their mothers weren't with them, or they were adopted, or they went through foster's home. This is why they do it. That helps. And yet it can also be the lazy habit that deceives and ensnares you, because while you're understanding it and you can write about it, as the one woman in the eating disorder clinic told me, I can write books all day long on what happens when you enter into what eventually snares you into an eating disorder, and how you stay in the eating disorder, how you rationalize what happens to your brain, how you see yourself. I can do it all day long. What will help, what won't help. But at the end of the day, I'm helpless to do anything for myself. So you may be able to recite everything that you understand about you, about your situation, and yet you're helpless to do anything about it. That's when you have to end to call in the big guns. This is when the Lenten fasts. Maybe you can fast from intellectualizing. Maybe you can fast from your interruptions of your own self, rather than saying, you know what, this just isn't cool. A husband does not treat a wife this way. A boyfriend doesn't treat a girlfriend this way. I shouldn't treat you this way. A mother shouldn't treat their child this way. A child should not treat their parent this way. A boss should not treat his employee this way. An employee shouldn't treat her boss this way. Friends shouldn't treat friends this way. And be okay with that, rather than constantly rationalizing. It has its place. It has its place. Everything is within reason here, right? Everything is within reason. We ask those people around us, roll it off of somebody. Roll it off of a trusted friend, of trusted relative, a trusted priest, a stranger. Roll it off of somebody and get a little feedback, because at some point it doesn't matter. It really does not matter. If you're being thrashed upon daily to where you can barely get up to breathe, and you're afraid to walk into another room by a husband who purports to love you, then what you need to do is know that, yes, I can say all the reasons that happened. I can look at that. I can see the terrible childhood that he had. He was sent away, or his parents died in a crash, or he stumbled in on his mother with committing suicide. But I'm a human being. I'm a child of God. I'm God's daughter. I'm God's princess. He's the king. I should not be treated like this. I should not allow this to happen, because it's not doing him any good and it's not doing me any good. It's causing us both to stay in this lazy addiction to evil. And it does ensnare us, as Pope Francis said. So take a look and think a little bit outside of the box. Think about, what is it in you? Do you do things that continue and perpetuate the fact that you may leave everything to habit, that you forget to say please and thank you, honey, thank you, sweetheart, to your child, to your husband, to your boyfriend, or that you make statements that are really just nice sounding excuses for bad behavior? I may understand why my mother did such a thing to me over and over and over again, always putting me in double binds, always giving me little hints. Oh, you like that color? A lot of women share that with me. Oh, what made you choose that color? Even little things like that, over and over and over. Some of them can be kind quirks, but some of them are indicative of pretty severe personality disorders. That is not a hint of a personality disorder, by the way. But there are many women out there who live with personality disordered mothers and personality disordered fathers that were very functional in the world, but behind closed doors, there was something different. And they grew up to constantly try to understand, constantly try to bear the shoulders of the family. And yet they allowed themselves to be eroded over and over again. That's not a good thing. So you have to remember that some of these things, some of these little outward things, like remembering to say please, remembering to say, you know, I appreciate you, or remembering that you need to do that to yourself. I appreciate God's gift. How will I be with this gift that God has given me, which is me, on that day that I'm standing before him and he asked me the question, why did you allow all that abuse to keep you from doing the things that I have in store for you? Why did you allow that desert to continue on when I was giving you a clear path out? How did that happen? And over again, I think if we're just aware that each day that we walk on the road and we just open ourselves up, and the more opportunity we have to do that, He's a kind, good, benevolent God. It's always kindness. It's always love, is always kind. Love is always patient. Love meaning God. Humans, not so much. We'd love to aspire to that. We're not always kind. We're not always patient. But we can get into a rut. We can get into those lazy ways for evil addictions. And some ways to break out of it are in almost like the language ways. And looking at our language and how, if you can't do it from the inside as easily, try your language. Try to see what you are saying and what you're accepting from other people, what they're saying. When we come back from the break, I'm going to give you a couple of very easy things that probably roll off your tongue before you even know it, that you can easily take a look at. I want to get into the other things that Pope Francis suggested that we do during Lent. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you can call me 573-4-BREAD-4. You can also text. You can email dmlive@breadboxmedia.com.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. 573-4-BREAD-4 is our number. Text or call. dmlive@breadboxmedia.com is my email. And you can log on and become a friend of the show. Breadboxmedia.com. I don't know where my brain is today, but I'm telling you, it is full of distractions. So how do we keep on target? Well, one good thing is by looking at someone way smarter and way more spiritual than me, and that is Pope Francis, and someone, Kevin Cotter of Focus, the blog that he has, the website that he has, who's a little bit more organizationally together, evidently, when he wrote this in, put this together in 2017, February 20s. I'm sorry, 2000. Yes, 2017, February 22nd. All right. So we were talking about getting rid of that lazy addiction and different lazy addictions we have. So anything from really hardcore, damaging, destructive addictions, pornography, thinking it doesn't do anything, constantly eating and being out of shape, thinking it doesn't do anything, letting your children do things that are dangerous to them and just thinking, it's not going to be so bad. Not doing the hard stuff, not taking the hard rap, not taking the jumping off the cliff when you need to. All with good guidance. Take care of yourself first. Oxygen mask on you first. And this is a good time to retool and reset. Is Lent. So some of those little things that you say, let's say that you can fast from in relationships. Some of the things that can really help you in all of your relationships. And I said, just something so easy as please and thank you. It is so funny, but what that does is it shows the other, it elevates the language itself, the word itself elevates the other person to a place of respect and a place of familiarity and kindness and like, a sharing. It's a gift in its own right. So that's something you can fast from, is forgetting to do that. Being so busy on your phone that you go, and you just grab something, or you just take something, or you just say, put it down there. And you don't say thank you to whoever it is, your child. Put it down. No, how about when they do it, thank you, and you look at them. You look at them. You don't look away. And looking down at your texting and your email and your everything that you're doing, that's, or your television, that is paying disrespect, actually actively paying disrespect to someone. Believe it or not, we've institutionalized it, so we no longer think of that as a problem. But it really is. It really is, if you really look inside yourself a little bit. So how about a little bit of eye contact, a little bit of the niceties toward your spouse, but also having it toward you? Distancing yourself from things that are tough. Distancing yourself when you want to bring something up, but you're afraid to. Fasting from that, taking that time to reel in the distance. You can do that with a touch. A little touch on the arm. A touch on the arm, a look in the eyes. Oftentimes, I spend a lot of time talking with you, and we share about how hard it is to go from the inside out. Sometimes it's good to go from the outside in. The outside shapes you. If we didn't have all these outside forces on us all day long, we would be amorphous blobs, or we wouldn't even be. We would just be scattered everywhere. We have to have these outside, sometimes these outside forces give us our visual cues. You look outside the window to see what you're supposed to wear that day because of the weather. These outside cues. So touching is a big cue. Again, put down the phone. Touch your child, touch your boyfriend, your husband. And especially when you're going to talk about hard stuff. If you come to someone stiff with your arms crossed and a furrowed brow, it speaks volumes, and your legs crossed, or you come in a real condescending, overbearing way. It already announces who you are before you open your mouth and how you feel about them. You come as not as a co inhabitor of the earth, as a true brother and sister, as a true lover. How about taking "I love you" too lightly? It's really sweet to have those endearing terms, "I love you," or "love you, babe," or hey, honey, love you. And it's wonderful to keep saying that over and over. But take a moment for yourself and sit and savor in the sweetness. Just like with us and food. You know, really, we have to think about not eating as much. Isn't that something? What does someone give up for Lent who doesn't have enough food? We're so plentiful here that sometimes we just need something fast. So we shove a Hershey's bar in our mouth, let's say, that we get at the 7-Eleven while we're standing up, and we throw the paper away and it's gone before we reach the car. What about savoring? My gosh, chocolate. Chocolate was something that was traded like gold. It was food of the gods. It was rare. It was beautiful. It was amazing. What about something like that? What about savoring it for a moment? So don't take it like that. Take it like the sweetest thing in the world. When someone goes, "love you," or "love you, honey," or "I love you." And you make yours mean that as well. How about the hyper-focusing on everything? Everything that he does wrong. I know that we make jokes about that women tend to do that. We make jokes about it. I know I have. I've been very guilty of that myself. And sometimes you also, then the converse of that too, you think he's a mind reader, like he's going to read your mind and know what you're thinking. But sometimes we find ourselves in this constant negative mending. You're trying to fact find. But instead of asking, laying vulnerable, instead of imploring, now sometimes you implore, you know, I really wish you'd open up to me. And then that just, boom, you just get slammed, slam dunked. I'm not talking about abusive relationships here. I'm talking about normal everyday life. Sometimes we tend to think that because we're not being looked at a certain way, we don't give honor to the fact that we think women think differently than men. Men think differently than women. Different people think different than different people. So we can't read your mind. Stop filling in the blanks. This is something I've had to even learn myself, but I help other people overcome that as well, is that oftentimes we tend to fill in the blanks ourselves. A certain look means, and then we fill in the blank and then we act accordingly. And then we get upset because someone can't read our minds. And we give them every nonverbal cue in the world. And it's so ubiquitous. It's so over pervasive that we make jokes about it all the time. You know, you should know what I'm thinking. And we do, we laugh about it. You should know what I'm thinking. Can't you see my face? But really, they're clueless. Help them out. Fast from constantly over-focusing. Ask something and ask someone else. Ask someone else. What do you think? Somebody who knows. Somebody who's observed you, not just somebody that you can just relate things to. The other thing is that try to fast from assuming for yourself and for someone else that you know what is good for them. That circles back to what I said in the beginning of the program. We often will decide, I need to be more humble, therefore I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, instead of sitting back, open up and go, you know what, I'm helpless, I'm powerless, please show me what I need to do. Help me listen to some angels in my pathway. Open, receive, remember, let go, hold on for the next indicated step, or hold on for what's in store, and receive. Grace to receive. What a beautiful, beautiful prayer, that kind of thing that is. And so we have to look at that, not only for ourselves, but for those around us as well. Don't think that we know how we're going to. Find out how they want, observe, be the archaeologist in your own relationship. What is it that they would think would be a sweet thing? What is it that they like? This Lent can be such an open, wonderful experience if you remember, one, that you do not fear above all things. 365 days a year, 365 times in the Bible, as Father Derek said, do not fear. Remember that the world is a tough place to live in, but it abounds with beauty. Every single moment is the opportunity to do one tiny thing. And if all we do is the number one thing that Pope Francis said is get rid of the lazy addiction to evil, just remember, it's just kind of it's the default. Let's not just default back to what's easy and what we know. Let's open up and ask for something new and different. Well, I'm Dr. Michelle. Please write me, DM live at breadboxmedia.com.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.